Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcoming everybody to the download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday morning, December 14th, 2019, in our nation's capital. This year is almost over. But boy, we are going out with a bang here, I would like to think. The Nationals re-signed Steven Strasburg this past week, leaving open the slight hope that they may, because of $80 million in deferrals, be able to also re-sign Anthony Rendon. Lo and behold, that did not happen, as Rendon signed with the Los Angeles Angels late Wednesday evening for the exact price that Strasburg signed with the Nationals. 7 years and $245 million. It was an emotional roller coaster of a week for Nationals fans, as you know, their hopes of retaining their championship crew hit sort of a new peak early in the week when they re-signed Strasburg. Okay, we're not going to lose both of them. We could re-sign both of them. That's still up in the air. And then just a couple of days later, those hopes were dashed. So it looks like, at least in the framework, the Nationals have about 90% of their World Series roster intact for next season. But a big part of that is gone now in Anthony Rendon. Before we jump into the meat of today's show, I wanted to revisit something, a monumental happening, occurrence here at the radio station that took place Thursday afternoon. You may remember so many months back, our own Chris Russell made yet another boneheaded bet on the Washington Redskins. It was one of those bets where you kind of scratch your head going, nobody was holding a gun to your head. You didn't have to do this. Nobody asked you to do this. But of course, once he committed to it, well, of course, we're all going to join in with him and commit to it as well. Well, about 6 months had passed since he made that bet in May. And that bet was essentially, if the Redskins win six or fewer games in 2019, then I will shave my head. No, better yet, you guys can shave my head. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks back when a listener so kindly reminded us about this bet that it kind of came back into the spotlight. And for the last couple of weeks, we've had a sweat going. Because nobody's saying that the Redskins are predetermined to win six or fewer games this year. And just when it seemed we were in the clear, the Redskins rip off a two-game winning streak. Oh my gosh, where is this thing headed? Where are we going with this? And then finally, last Sunday, with their loss in Green Bay to the Packers, the bet was cemented. Chris Russell's head was getting shaven. And I want to give you a little taste of how that played out on the air Thursday afternoon, right here at 106.7 The Fan. Chris Russell, much to his credit, and I will give him credit for this, he did not welch. He shouldn't welch, but he did not welch. He lived up. He sat there. He took it like a man. And then a surprise guest shaver, described, I believe, on the air as Tom Daly's consigliere, because Tom Daly was running the board for the Grant and Danny Show. He could not leave the board abandoned to go downstairs to the downstairs studio and cash in his shave of Chris Russell's head. So his guest consigliere had to fill in for him. And I don't know if his voice will sound familiar to you, but I think the way that Grant and Danny set it up should give it away. This is how that played out on Thursday.
In the most fitting twist ever, Rooster's Grooming Lounge is helping us today as we shave the rooster's head, Chris Russell, live at 106.7 The Fan. Big thanks to our barber, Charles. They've got a couple of locations. And people, if you are trying to look like Chris Russell, who's going to be sexy when this is all said and done.
Why would you want to look like me?
Because you're going to have a great new haircut.
Well, that's
you
true.
Can Very take sleek. Advantage of the great offers from Roosters.
554 12th Street in Arlington. Give them a customized experience with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Hairstyles and barbers are skilled in classic haircutting and styling techniques, but with an eye for current modern men's hair trends, like shaving your head in awkward places, like you do for Chris Russell. Give you that 21st century look you want. Go to roostersmgc.com and book a Roosters Club Cut, which includes a personal consultation, precision haircut with shampoo, massage, and hot towel treatment. Finishes with a style, a brush of powder at the neck, and a splash of aftershave. That's roostersmgc.com.
So you'll notice that there is one person missing from the Grant and Danny radio program down here, Chris. And that's a guy who really did want to get a good pass at your head, and that was Tom Daly.
That's not fair. He's diabolical.
One of our producers. Thommy's upstairs. Thommy, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we got
absolutely.
You, buddy.
So it's disappointing that you can't be down here to cut Rooster's hair. So I'm wondering how you're feeling up there, and also if there's anyone that might be able to fill in for you.
Well, if you've noticed, I wanted to have a big reveal last segment, but we couldn't get around to it. There's someone in the room that hasn't been mentioned yet who happens to be wearing a bright red hat.
Oh.
He's someone that Russell trusts just as little as me. So I would have to say that I'm going to hand my snip off to one Chris Lingbach.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's not in the room.
Oh, my
Where
God.
Where is Chris Lingbach?
Is he here? Oh, he's here.
Yeah. And you thought Blue Shorts wasn't going to be here, Rainey.
That's Blue Shorts music.
You're going to take it. You're going to take it. Every bit of it.
Watch out before I kick
Give
you.
Me
in.
Those Give me those slippers.
I don't know what bit
Blue
that is.
Give
it's happening.
Me those
Blue Shorts is doing a wacky, angry bit. So, Rainey, this is the person in the building you would least want to have clippers in their hand.
And have access to your hair.
You were happy. You were just
we're
celebrating.
Take that hair right off your head.
We've been hiding him up here for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I get it.
He's doing a Vince.
The Vince.
All right. So, Shorts, can you tell us with whatever voice you want to what your game plan is here?
I'm going to take the hair right off his head.
Pretty good, Vince.
Any thoughts, Rainey, before he goes to town?
It's nice to see you at work, Blue Shorts. First time since what, October?
You're going to get on your knees and bark like a dog.
He's committed. I'll tell you that. Here goes.
Uh-oh,
Chris
Shorts
Lingbach.
Is going to the back.
He's got the shaky hands.
His hands
and he's
are
going
shaking.
To it. Oh.
Why are his hands shaking?
Oh, they're shaking so much.
God.
He's expanded the Patch Adams.
That's enough.
Wow. Okay, first
you like
seven.
It, don't you? You like it.
So, I
feel like we've lost control of an uncontrollable situation.
Thank you, Shorts.
Thank you, Shorts.
And he's literally leaving. That's it. He didn't work today.
Where's your donation, dummy?
He walked in and
That's
screamed.
That's Tom's donation.
There was no donation, and he just walked out.
That's Tom's consigliere.
By the way, I will say, whatever just happened, I'm very confused, but he took maybe the best jump yet because he went right to the back and basically finished what is now a horseshoe on top of the head.
Two things. One, we're fortunate that there are no cuts because Shorts had the shakiest hand I've ever seen. For some reason. I don't know why he did, but he did. His hand was quivering. I think he was so committed to the bit that he got like that intense. And second thing is, I promise you, we didn't go, hey, when you come in, make sure you do the Vince McMahon full-on, full throttle. We didn't tell him that. That was on his own.
You know how Daniel Day-Lewis becomes the character?
Yes.
I think he just decided at like 9 a.m. today he would be that guy.
Yep.
So his hand was shaking.
No,
this had
to be the stupid surprise that Dar was threatening me about on Twitter yesterday.
I think that's what happened. I think that's what it was, right?
Russell, there's a couple more.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
All right.
I believe Chris Kinard is up.
Our program director, Chris Kinard, who Russell, the first thing he said when he got here today, CK, he came up to you and he goes, boss, are you really going to let this happen?
I'm going to make it. It's going to definitely happen. And here we are. But look, Chris, you're a man of your word. You've turned this into a positive.
Yes.
You're raising some money for charity.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a great show tonight at 6:30. Everyone can listen.
Oh, I can't go home after this?
No, you're on the air tonight.
Damn it.
And it's going to grow back. Unlike me, this will grow back. So it'll be all right.
Any tip for a new member of the bald community?
No, because it's going to grow back. Just, you know what? It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. Right, relax. It's going to be okay. You've done a great job. Whatever just happened, that was really weird. But you've done a great job.
It was very strange.
Quick round of applause so far for Chris Rock, who has absolutely killed it.
Thank you. We're very happy.
And by the way, if you want to donate, you can. Tell people where they can donate that are listening that couldn't come down here.
Again, JDRF for type 1 diabetes and or the Global Down Syndrome Association, which is national, or the Down Syndrome Association of Northern Virginia. So you can, you know, either one, Capital Chapter, obviously, for JDRF or JDRF National, whatever you decide to do.
Good on Chris Russell there for being such a great sport. He really did commit to it, the bit, as I like to say. And obviously, I have to pat myself on the back for committing to the bit. This is something that Tom and I had hatched up, you know, weeks ago. We had just been waiting for the right time to spring it on everybody. And it's a little chaotic. These things don't always unfold the way that you plan them. Now, to the shaky hands, I'll say this. There was such downtime before the bit that, you know, I'm trying to kind of get in character in my head. And what happened was, right when I spring through that door and I hear that Vince McMahon music, I had so much adrenaline rushing through my veins that I could not control my hands for the life of me. You could have held a gun to my mother's head and said, calm down or she gets it. And I'd say, sorry, Mom. Tip of the cap. That's a great Patrice O'Neill reference right there. And as you can hear this morning, the after effects of that growling Vince McMahon voice it still has its play on my life, whatever that means. So congrats to Grant and Danny for a successful bit. And I got to tell you, it was so worth it. It felt so worth it. All of the buildup, months and months in the waiting. And just the fact that Russell had no idea when he made this bet back in May that this season could go as disastrous as it possibly has. I kept hearing them talk to people in the office afterwards. You know, he'd be in the kitchen and looking for attention, whatever he's doing with his big salad. People would be like, why would you ever bet on the Redskins? And I heard Russell say this over and over again. They've won at least 7 games every year for the last couple of years. Well, not this year, Russell. Thank God. Not this year. Check out our YouTube page, 106.7 The Fan on YouTube, for a video of the full from beginning to end of Chris Russell being scalped downstairs in our first floor studio. So that's 106.7 The Fan on YouTube for that. And of course, check out some other highlights at grantanddanny.com. When we come back, our top 5 stories of the week in DC sports. These are the biggest stories in DC sports as determined by you, the loyal reader of thefandc.com. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you. We got to move fast. We got a lot of content to bring to you today on the program. Let's jump into our top 5 most read stories of the week in DC sports as determined by you, the loyal reader of thefandc.com.
It's time for The Download Countdown. The 5 most read stories this week on thefandc.com.
Let's do this.
Number 5.
The 2019 World Series MVP is staying in Washington. News Nationals fans were thrilled to hear Monday afternoon the Nats will pay Strasburg, who opted out of his contract after the World Series, $245 million on a 7-year contract that will take him through his age 38 season. Steven Strasburg is about to be a National for life. More than $80 million of that money is deferred. Of course, that news was somewhat spoiled Wednesday night when Anthony Rendon signed with the Angels for the exact same amount of money. For contract details and more reaction to the Strasburg signing, Anthony Rendon signings, visit thefandc.com/nationals.
Number 4.
All of the momentum to the Bruce Allen could be done soon narrative actually took off last week when Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated told Grant and Danny this.
Albert, I'm going to start with you where we start with all of our respected national guests now on the Redskins. Do you think 2019 will be the end of the road for Bruce Allen as team president?
I actually think part of that's going to be linked to the head coach search, and here's what I mean by that. The Redskins have already started the search. I know this hasn't been public, but they've actually already started reaching out to prospective candidates through, you know, go-betweens and everything else. And my understanding is they've gotten some pushback on the current structure of the organization from some of those candidates. And so, you know, what I would tell you is this is really going to boil down to, I think, a couple things. One, just how much does the current structure of the organization limit them as far as what they're able to go and get as their next head coach? And then two, how far does this have to go for Dan Snyder to move on from Bruce Allen? And so kind of like two related things that are, I think, kind of moving targets with both. And so I would just tell you, you know, my sense is that they've already gotten the feeling that the head coach search is going to be affected by the way that the building's operated for the last 10 years. And so I think it's going to come down to, again, A, is it going to limit who he's going to get as head coach? And B, how far is Dan Snyder willing to go to keep Bruce Allen?
Number three.
Redskins reporter Craig Hoffman took a bold stance against Bill Callahan for continuing to play a clearly hobbled Dwayne Haskins in last Sunday's loss to Green Bay. Hoffman's postgame column titled "Callahan's Reason for Playing Haskins Makes No Sense" takes aim directly at the interim coach. Hoffman writes, "Haskins was allowed to keep playing after he sustained an ankle injury in the second quarter that hampered him so badly he could barely complete handoffs. The organization that went through the Robert Griffin III injury fiasco of 2012 survived the loss at Lambeau Field without Haskins suffering a long-term career-altering injury. However, they put themselves under a microscope by playing the rookie when he clearly couldn't move freely and at times barely at all. Haskins was an immobile target for Packers defenders. He took a few shots. He kept playing. That wasn't the point to most, but that was what his coach was proud of. Quote, we noticed he was gimping around, but he battled fine, interim coach Bill Callahan said. When asked again about taking Haskins out at halftime, Callahan responded, quote, he was cleared. He was fine. There was no consideration at that point, end quote. Haskins would say for himself, quote, I heard it in the second quarter of the game, but I had to battle through it. It's a tough injury, but I'll be all right. Hoffman continues, that is the exact answer you would want to hear from a franchise quarterback, a willingness to battle through an injury he was capable of playing on. But that is not the answer most fans want to hear from an interim coach of a now 3-10 team who was supposed to be guiding that franchise quarterback safely through his rookie season. Read Craig's full column on the topic at thefandc.com/Redskins.
Number two.
Jason Lockenfora jump-started that Bruce Allen narrative we spoke of a few minutes ago with a pregame report Sunday ahead of Redskins-Packers. In it, Lockenfora reported the Redskins are interested in Stanford coach David Shaw, who's long been a coaching target of NFL teams and of the Redskins in the past. Further, Lockenfora added, Daniel Snyder is beginning to understand the gravity of his situation and that major changes could be coming to the Skins front office this week. Again, that was last Saturday, and here we are on, or excuse me, last Sunday, and here we are on Saturday. But we'll see if that continues to have legs moving forward. When we come back, our top story of the week from thefandc.com, the biggest story as determined by you. And if there's any sort of pattern you picked up here in the first four stories, I think you might be wise to listen through the break. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to The Download. It's time for our top story of the week, the biggest story in DC sports this week as determined by you, the loyal reader of thefandc.com.
And now, the number one story this week on thefandc.com.
Welcoming onto the show the author, well, I guess more the purveyor of our top story on thefandc.com this week. That story, of course, This may be Bruce Allen's final week as Redskins president. Chris Russell joins the show. Rooster, how are you this morning?
Hello, Blue Shorts. Good morning.
It's been a couple of days. How have you recovered from your immaculate shaving?
Well, yeah. You know, I'm getting used to it. The wind feels a little different on my scalp.
Right.
I'm trying to basically look like you and Tom Daly. I don't know if I'm ever going to get there. It went better than I was thinking. I was expecting to be completely bald, and I'm not. So I look at this as a victory for the old rooster.
Well, to be like me and Tom Daly, you would have to actually completely loathe your own existence on this planet.
Yeah.
So I wanted to touch on real quick. Last Sunday, I believe it was. You had this to say on the air, and I want to play it for you real quick, just so you can kind of have the right frame of context.
I've been talking to some people, and they said the scene around the team after the game was not a pretty one. That there is, it was described as quote unquote red hot in Green Bay. Now, I keep hearing that there's no chance Bruce Allen is coming back. Just a matter of how it's going to get done and how it's going to be wrapped up. I still think he's going to retire rather than get fired. However, Lockenfora this morning said changes could be coming this week. I know there are other people that have speculated and heard the same thing. I've now been told that things could happen this week. That's not retiring. Resigning, yes. You don't retire with 3 weeks to go. Resigning, yes. Retire, no. So the question becomes, does Dan Snyder... I think the better question at this point right now from everything I'm hearing is, does Dan Snyder allow Bruce Allen to finish the year? Not does Dan Snyder allow Bruce Allen to keep his job and come back next year? I think that's the better question. Now? Or not, you know, now and gone? Not now and later, you know, now or later, not if, basically. I don't know if that makes sense. Basically, what I'm trying to describe is, does it happen this week? Or does it happen at the end of the year? Not will it happen or if it happens. From everything, and granted, people are very careful to go aggressively on this because things have been known to change around there. But, while things have been known to change around there, again, I would just continue to say 10 years has been a long time. It's not getting any better. And as a matter of fact, this arguably, I don't know if this is worse than 2013 or 2014, but it sure as bleep ain't better.
Now, Russell, after hearing that, you know, we're, I guess, about 5-6 days removed.
Right.
Do you feel kind of the same way? Do you think it's maybe a matter of an extended timeline? What are your thoughts now that we've got a little bit of space between now and those comments?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always, and I always have to remember this, and that's why I think you heard a lot of hesitation in my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Snyder's always pissed off after a bad loss.
Right.
And even though they were feisty and competitive last Sunday in Green Bay, shorts, they were eliminated from the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs in 16 out of his 21 years of ownership.
Right.
8 out of 10 years under Bruce Allen.
Pretty bad.
He realizes that the guy he chose to run his organization, who somehow, some way, made it worse than when Vinny Serrato was here, he realizes that he's got to cut the cord, and he doesn't want to do it.
You think he does realize that?
I think he, from what I understand, he absolutely does realize that that's what has to be done. He doesn't want to do it,
But in order for the franchise to move forward and have some sort of ability to win football games again and win some of their customers back, there is no chance. There is no chance that you can go into this offseason based on everything I've heard and everything I see and everything I know and being back there, you know, almost every day now, you know, over the last month or so, and just talking to people privately. I mean, everybody knows it. People are packing their houses. People are saying, you know, kind of goodbyes.
People in the building are packing their houses?
Yeah, there's at least one or two people that I've heard.
Would these be people close to Bruce?
I mean, yeah, I think they're people that are in the building, commonly associated with Bruce and his tenure. So I don't want to go any further than that.
Is one of those people Dan Snyder?
The bottom line is this. Look, I often get a little nervous when talking about people's job security and firing people because it does affect families. But, you know, you did a lot of coverage of this. Bruce sold his mansion in, where was it? In Fairfax County, right?
Yeah, it was in McLean or something like that. Great Falls,
right?
Maybe.
And from what I understand, he's living in a tiny little condo in Ashburn, right? People have been transitioning towards, hey, we don't know if we're going to stay out here. We don't know if we're going to be here
long term. Well, and also he bought that big house on the California coast a couple of years ago.
Absolutely. And that's near the Los Angeles area. And that I've always thought and heard, and maybe that's why I thought it, that Bruce would retire more than resign or more than get fired. So that's why when I heard that on Sunday night, I was like, whoa, because that was what Lock and Fora reported.
Yeah.
Maybe we're talking to the same person. I don't know. Because I had heard all along, including from these sources, that Bruce was, you know, very likely to retire as opposed to getting fired. And that's why I said, and I clarified in that piece that you just played, is this week doesn't make sense if he retires. Only if he's getting fired or if he's resigning did this week make sense. And what was kind of ironic about this past week is 10 years ago when he fired Dan, even though it was termed a resignation, Vinny Serrato, when he fired Vinny, it was done at the same hotel in the same city at the same league annual meetings that the Redskins and the NFL just wrapped up at.
So are you saying that we could hear that Bruce Allen is not coming back with him, or maybe that he has come back with him and he has chosen against that?
Well,
against a firing.
I think what happens is with Dan, you know, sometimes, believe it or not, discretion is what's that saying? Discretion is better part of valor or whatever, right? Where you kind of like sit back and you kind of reevaluate and you take your time and make sure that, you know, what I've heard since that report, Shorts, is Dan feels a little bit lost, like a little bit kind of stripped without Bruce around him, not just as a shield, but he depends and he leans on Bruce to, you know, filter a lot of stuff through.
Well,
and
plus they're office golf buddies.
Yes, 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 absolutely. So this is a very, very, very difficult decision. Now, the one thing I will add, if Bruce Allen, who said back late last January that when asked why he was the correct guy to be the leader of the Washington Redskins, he said he feels the same passionate about the Redskins that the fans do, right? What passion do you think the fans of the Washington Redskins feel the most right now?
Oh, fire Bruce Allen.
Okay, so if you feel the same way, right?
Right, so he needs to fire himself.
Exactly. So resign.
All right, let me ask you this, Russell, because there are technical reasons, real quick. There's technical reasons why, if you were to make a big change in the front office, why you would need to do it sooner rather than later, because you need to get the next guy in here to hire the next head coach.
Yeah.
Could that be expediting the process a little bit, or is Dan Snyder just completely oblivious to that as well?
No, I don't think he's completely oblivious to that. I think, you know, I think he's hearing a lot of that, quite honestly, you know, from, you know, probably the people that he closely listens to and trusts the most that are not named Bruce Allen, you know, because if you think about it, right? You know, we've heard some rumors now about Eric Bieniemy, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Well, we think that that's coming from, you know, people that respect Bieniemy around the league. But
Alex Smith.
How much does Alex Smith have his ear, right?
Right.
So if Alex Smith is saying, hey, hire Eric Bieniemy, but he's not going to come here and work for Bruce, or Bruce is probably not the right guy, then that might carry a lot of weight. Also, you have the other factors here where you might lose potentially a Kyle Smith this offseason, even though he's under contract for another year beyond
right.
this offseason. You might lose him if you don't promote him to general manager or vice president of player personnel.
Okay, that's a fair point, and it leads me to I want to run a theory that I have by you, and you just tell me if it's an accurate characterization of the way things are run there or if it's just completely off base. Now, we've kind of gone through these iterations a couple of times towards the end of seasons where we thought, while there's some real traction here, it feels like they're ramping up towards maybe Bruce being fired, Bruce being pushed out somehow, or whatever way, shape, or form. It feels to me, and I know that there's factions in Redskins Park. It feels like sometimes they kind of, this faction or that faction will gear up towards making their public push, or whether it's through sources or what have you, towards pushing Bruce out the door, and that for whatever reason, all of these previous times, it hasn't quite worked.
Right.
Is that an accurate representation of what's going on, and maybe Bruce is just great at surviving all of these mounting forces?
I think that's pretty fair. I think the factions sometimes, you know, the lines blur.
Right.
And I think a lot of people just put their head down and just do their job and try and stay out of the limelight or out of trouble as much as they possibly can. You do not want to be called into Bruce's office or Dan's office, right? So I think a lot of times that happens, but I think a lot of times, yeah, you're right. And it happens certainly, you know, I mean, there was no love lost after five and a half years between Jay Gruden and Bruce Allen.
Right.
You know, there was friction there. You know, it's not my understanding, not that they hated each other, but there was, you know, there was friction there. So
Jay wanted to cut players sometimes,
yeah,
and he wasn't allowed to.
Exactly. And, you know, people get that information out through, again, media sources and, you know, all that type stuff. So I would say this. In the building and outside of the building, in league circles, people that I talk to, Shorts, recently and over the course of a long period of time, view the Redskins, as many fans and many of us view the Redskins, as, you know, in a sorry state and as almost a joke, right?
Right.
And the question becomes is whether Dan Snyder is – there's no question he's insulated – but whether he's that insulated that he continues to ignore 98, 97, 99% of the free public and of the NFL world and continues to say, no, I'm right. Bruce is the guy. I don't want to fire my friend. I don't want to fire my golf and drinking buddy. I think he's the right guy. I don't want to ruin consistently the name and the legacy of the Allen name. If at some point he wakes up, right, which I think he is at, and says, no, you know what? I love Bruce as a brother, as a friend, but I've got to do something to fix something. Well, then hopefully that day is coming soon if it already hasn't happened.
All right, let me leave you with this one last question, and thanks for all your time on this beautiful Saturday morning, Russ.
It's always a beautiful Saturday morning, live and in person in living color with you, Shorts. By the way, I'm coming up at 9 o'clock this morning with Tommy Lavero.
Nice plug. People can check that out, of course. Chris Russell, what gives you confidence, if it even does, if you have any confidence that this latest, I don't know, let's call it a coup attempt towards Bruce Allen actually sticks?
You know, last Sunday I was pretty convinced that, you know, he was going to be overtaken for, you know, like as we see in a lot of these countries, right?
Right, like
you
North
mentioned
Korea.
The coup, and you know that he was going to be taken down right off the throne. As the week went along, I started to get some indications that Dan is still waffling and Dan is still thinking and Dan is still considering and weighing options and all that stuff. So I would just say this. I would say I think people are going to have to be a little more patient than ideally they would like to. I know where Lock and Four was going because I heard the same exact thing, okay, as I referenced in that piece. So I'm not saying I was definitely right or he was definitely right or we're wrong or whatever. I mean, you report what you hear from valued and trusted sources who have been right plenty of times before. Just because it didn't happen, neither one of us guaranteed that it would happen, said it could happen this week, right? Just because it didn't happen this week, that doesn't mean that it won't happen, oh, say, tomorrow night. After, think about this, week 15, another division game, maybe another division loss, an eighth division loss in a row, mm-hmm. and Shorts 60,000, 55,000 Eagle fans there, much like the scene was right. week 17 of last year, only it's week 15.
Right.
And the scene is
right.
ugly and maybe as ugly or uglier this year, tomorrow, than it was last year.
And you already mentioned Dan Snyder gets real pissed after losses. All right, Russell, that's great insight, and I appreciate your time this morning. People can check you out with Tom Lavero starting at 9 o'clock.
9 a.m. to noon, in for television's Nick Ashew, who's once again vacationing in some exotic island.
All right, fantastic. And when we come back, the best segment you'll hear in D.C. sports all week. It's the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to The Download. It's time for the best segment in D.C. sports all week, The Junkies Rewind.
The Junkies Rewind on The Download.
Welcome back to the show, Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in just about 15 minutes, Byron Kerr, who's sitting in for Pete Medhurst, will sit in with us. He's from massandsports.com. We'll talk Nationals with him and... obviously, the biggest story of the day, Anthony Rendon inking a massive deal with the Los Angeles Angels. It's tied for the 10th largest in MLB history for a free agent contract or an extension. By the way, pretty good few weeks for Scott Boras. He saw his clients sign deals for a combined $814 million for Strasburg, Cole, and Rendon. And a little piddly deal on the side. Mike Moustakas signed for $64 million with the Reds. That's another Boras client. So things going well for Scott Boras.
Wow, almost
good
nine,
holiday season.
Almost $900 million for four players.
Yeah. So Rendon departing, no longer with the Nats.
That's
he will
crazy.
Be with the LA Angels, and he goes into that abyss where you're never going to see him play unless you stay up late.
You're never going to see him.
And you love watching late night West Coast MLB games.
No, you'll never see him.
Yeah, he goes into the highly paid abyss along with Mike Trout.
And unless they get some pitching, he'll never see the postseason again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's something that they'll be working on.
Mike Trout's been in the league almost 10 years. He's played three
right.
postseason games.
Right.
All right, he got swept, I don't know, 5 years ago, whatever it was. But you're right. I mean, he's going to go out. But he's gonna hate living in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah,
or Bel Air.
It's going to be stressful.
He's going to hate living next to Jennifer Aniston and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
He's going to hate that.
Yeah, it's going to be a very stressful life for him, for that Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, but think about the action at the winter meetings in San Diego.
Yeah.
I mean, the last few off seasons have been, well, especially during the winter meetings, have been kind of slow.
Right.
I mean, these big-name players are usually waiting until almost spring training.
Yeah, it's a big waiting game.
I mean, look how long Harper took to sign. Wasn't that into spring training? Well, it was pretty close.
I can't remember the timeline, but yeah, it definitely wasn't like in December.
Yeah, but now you've got the top three free agents all signing in the same week, back to back to back. That's crazy.
Teams had the powder dry. They couldn't wait to deploy some of that cash for the players.
Man, Boras got it done.
So are you upset that the Nationals did not match the Angels and come up with enough money to keep Rendon here in D.C.?
And also, where do the Nats go now at third base?
Right.
Is it Josh Donaldson?
What's the backup plan?
Do you give Donaldson a fourth year? He's 34 years old. All right, he's had some injuries here lately. Had some leg problems last year or 2 years ago. He did hit 37 bombs, but he's not the defensive player that Rendon is.
Right.
And he's got pop, but he's not the offensive player that Rendon is, and he's older. Or do you make this trade for Bryant? That's been a rumor. Is there someone else? After that, it's pretty thin.
Right. It's kind of dicey.
Yeah, but I would think that the Nats, unless they love Carter Kieboom, unless he's their next big-time guy, big-time prospect, do you go after Donaldson?
I think it's kind of a weird situation for Nats fans to be in because all year long, all summer, we heard, if they don't sign Rendon, pitchforks and torches, right? Like, the learners are cheap. This is outrageous. They got to find a way. They can't let Harper and Rendon go in back-to-back years.
Yeah.
But then they win the World Series. So it's like, all right, we're all warm and fuzzy.
Right.
But when is this going to wear off? Because if they would have lost to the Brewers in that game and then lost Rendon, people would be losing their minds, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard to feel that because they won the World
Series. Yeah, there's still euphoria left over from the World Series,
I
But I think everyone feels like if you look at it, just Rendon left the Nats, That's a mistake to let him go.
Well, but this is what the Nats do. They pay pitchers, they pay arms, and they let the high-dollar bats walk.
Well,
that's their M.O.
Nobody expected Strasburg to opt out all year. Everyone said, don't worry about him.
Right.
Well, he had an amazing October, and he said, I'm going to cash in on this.
Well, it's a business decision. Of course you're going to do that if you're Strasburg.
But it screwed the Rendon deal.
Maybe it comes down to the fact that Rendon does not like deferred money. Maybe if he agreed to the deferred contract, they would have gotten it done. What if he agreed to 60 or $80 million deferred? They would have got it done. They would have given him 250.
Why does every learner deal have to be deferred?
That's the way they do business.
He likes to make the money off of your money. He doesn't want to pay it all up front.
I just don't.
You know what, Drab? That's why they're multi-billionaires and we're not. Because they defer money.
They like to keep money.
Well, they also love
are the masters of the deal.
Superstars put on other teams'
jerseys. Hey, you know what this also tells me? Don't get used to Juan Soto being here long term.
Yeah, writing's on the wall.
Enjoy him. Yeah. Enjoy Juan Soto while he's here. Mm-hmm. Because if you know this current plan stays in place, they're going to pay the pitchers, and Juan Soto is going to be obviously the most coveted free agent out of the market. Why would you expect Juan Soto to re-up? Now I know that's a long ways off, but Harper, Rendon, maybe not even don't even expect Trey Turner to re-sign.
Yeah,
if the offers come in big for him, so get used
know.
To it. This is the paradigm
I don't know
for
how
Nats
I feel
fans.
About it. This is also the way to look at it. These long term deals, Drabby, in baseball, especially guys who are near 30, they just come back to haunt these teams.
Right.
in the fourth, fifth, sixth year, they just do. I mean, look at all the big contracts.
So this wasn't a 9-year deal. It was a 7-year
deal. No, I understand that, but he's going to be 37 at the end of it. Look at all the guys who signed huge deals.
Right.
The Miguel Cabreras, the Chris Davises, the Albert Pujols.
Well, you're paying.
Hold on, Robbie Cano.
Those were 10-year deals.
Okay, but it's still the back half of those deals.
I think these
teams. Rodriguez.
I think these teams, when they sign these deals, they know that they're hoping they get 4 or 5, maybe 6, really good years, and they know that those last few years, like years 7, 8, and 9, or 7 and 8, aren't going to be so great. I think that's kind of baked in to the deals.
And they weren't all 10-year deals. Cabrera did not sign a 10-year deal. He signed an 8-year deal. I'm just telling you, a lot of these deals, Stanton's deal. Stanton's deal is going to, now that was a 13-year deal. But that deal is going to crush the Yankees.
Right. There's no way he's going to be productive for the last like 3 or 4 years of that deal.
I'm telling you, these teams, when they look at these everyday players, they got to pick and choose. And they say, all right, I'll give the pitcher 7 years, and maybe we get 3 or 4 good years out of him.
Right.
But a lot of these long-term deals come back to haunt the teams. They just do.
Let's go to the callers. 800-636-1067 is the number. In case you're just waking up and missed the news, Anthony Rendon gone from the Nationals, now an L.A. Angel. So he departs the Nats after the World Series run. What's up, Brian? You're on with the Jux. Good morning.
Lost me.
Brian Leesburg, what's up?
Nah, he's not.
All right.
Having a connection issue
right,
with
go to Paul and
Brian.
Waldorf, MD. Hey.
What's up, Paul from the Dorf? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing today? Total agree with Drab and the deferred money. That's a bunch of BS. And Cakes with Soto's out of here, too, probably. The only thing I do have to say is about Barry Zavrugo yesterday. I can't pronounce his last name, but even either one, your show.
Zverluga.
Zver.
Yeah.
Zverluga. Thank you.
Zverluga.
Yeah, Verluga. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I looked it up. Okay. Anyways, he was making a good point to either you or on Chad's show that it was almost just like if you signed him, it was like signing someone for $17 million or signing Strasburg was signing someone for $10 million, which you know they're going to sign somebody for a 1 year $10 million deal for the next couple years for just a rental player. So, and the deferred money, they said Rendon would have taken 5 years because he wants to retire early. So you could have gave him like $40 million for $200 million total, and he would have been fine, I think.
You mean and none of it deferred?
Yeah, none of it deferred. I mean, come on, like you said, they're billionaires. They can afford it.
I know, but I agree. They can afford it, but they're also billionaires for a reason. They don't just spend money frivolously. That's just not the way they are. And I don't know. I mean, the rumor was that Rendon was going to sign a 4-year or 5-year deal, right? He signed a 7-year deal.
Right.
So what do we know?
Yeah, that's true.
This is what we know. We don't know anything. Right. Because that was the rumor. The rumor was, I'm going to sign a 4-year deal. I'm going to retire early. He signed a 7-year deal.
What happened to the theory that he wanted to play 4 more years and just retire and enjoy life?
Right. Well, what happened to the theory? Yeah, he just wants to go back home to Texas.
I got blown out of the water in 7 years, 245.
Yeah, he sold that offer.
Yeah. You're not when that is in front of you, you're not going to walk in and say, you know what? I only wanted to play 4 or 5 years. Take these pesky last 2 guaranteed years off of my deal. You're going to sign it.
Yeah, it's BS.
You just are.
You signed the biggest deal.
You know what? Even if you're not planning on playing 7 years, if you get offered that sort of money, you're signing that deal.
I would love to see what the latest and final offer was for the Nats. If it was that 210 or 215 with all the deferred money.
I mean,
or if they upped it.
Did they even put another offer out there?
I don't know. They may not have. I would love to have been a fly on the
Boris
wall.
Probably called him and said, look, we have 7 for 245 on the table from the Angels. And Mark Lerner said, too steep. No, we're not going to go there.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you in L.A.
Unless he takes $60 million of it when he's 50.
Right. the learners love to throw out the guaranteed, the deferred money. It's just what they do.
I tell you this, Strasburg didn't take $80 million in deferred money so the learners could make more money. Mm. He did it so they could win a championship.
Right. Yeah.
And that's annoying.
But that's not, there's no guarantee that you're going to land Rendon just because you defer $80 million.
But
it's a nice gesture by Strasburg to do that, but there's no guarantee in it.
But he wants to win.
Sure. But there's no guarantee you're going to bring Rendon back.
Rendon's already got the ring. He's got it.
Rendon, then they need to spend it on someone else.
Well, they're going to try and go out, and it might be a 4-year deal for $120 million for Donaldson.
Let me ask you, what's the difference between giving Rendon at 29 a 7-year deal, and then now you're going to give a 4-year deal to a 34-year-old?
What's the difference?
Well, you're going to be on the books to someone until they're 38.
True, but you lost the better player.
Are you questioning Mike Rizzo and what he's doing? Is that what you're doing right now? It sounds like that's what you're doing.
No, you're thinking that Mike Rizzo and the learners are in lockstep.
No, I never said that.
Right.
I know that's not true.
I'm sure Mike Rizzo feels hamstrung by the fact that there's deferred money on these deals. You think he doesn't want fully guaranteed deal with no deferred money to offer to these players? Of course he does.
No, I think Rizzo does amazing with what he's given.
Right. Mm-hmm. He has limitations.
He's given half a plate.
And he probably knew that he had no shot of getting Rendon because the learners were going to give him that heavily deferred deal.
Right.
And he knew Rendon wasn't going to go for it. Some guys don't care.
Right.
Some guys do.
You think
Strasburg doesn't care. Yeah, Max doesn't care.
They're fine with it. You think when Rizzo offered that deal to Rendon or place the deal in front of him, that he just knew he was gone?
Yes.
He wasn't going to sign it?
I'm sure he knew that.
He just went to him sheepishly and said, well...
I'm sure he went to him and said, look, this is the best that we can offer. And he probably pulled him aside and said, hey, look, if it weren't for the learners, I'd give you all the money guaranteed, okay? But the learners, they want their deferred money, okay? But I'd give it all to you, but I got to work with these constraints, okay? So probably pulled him aside and said, look, if it was my money, of course I'd give it to you, but it's not my money. I have to work under, the budgetary restraints that the learners have put on me. And I know he'll go out there and say, the learners always give me the resources that I need to build a competitive team, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of diplomacy on his part.
I got to go have lunch with Rizzo.
Yeah, you need to get a lot of details. Why don't you invite him to lunch at Circa, I don't know, today?
No, he likes to have...
Oh, he's the winter meeting. See, he couldn't make it.
Right. When I had lunch with him, I didn't have lunch with him at all this past year.
Right.
But I had lunch with him the 2 previous years.
Okay,
and he likes me to come over there.
Oh, to Nats Park.
And go sit in his suite, and they bring food into the suite.
It sounds like a great setup.
And we just talk about all this off-the-record stuff.
Can you schedule that already? Can you make that happen?
Got to do that.
You got to do it.
Because I guarantee he'll give me so much good stuff.
I mean, just send
him. Now, I won't be able to tell anybody.
No, of course. But here's what you do. You send him a casual text while he's out at the owner's meetings. Say, look, man, let's catch up once you get back. And, let's ballpark a time.
Yeah.
Let's ballpark a date for this.
Valdez, I got to do that.
Ballpark a lunch at the ballpark.
And then when you say you're inside skinny that you have, everyone will know your source.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then he'll hate me for the rest
of
my
radio career. Yeah, and then no more lunches for you.
Yeah. Right. But I have to do that. I got to put that on the books.
We have a bunch of people on the lines. You're free to call at 800-636-1067. Weigh in on Anthony Rendon leaving the Nats for the L.A. Angels, a massive 7-year, $245 $1 million deal. We'll talk more about that next with Byron Kerr, MassinSports.com Nationals beat reporter, next here on The Fan.
The Chunkies Rewind on the download.
I got to get out of here. Jim Jester is going to puncture my face with a claw hammer. I'll see you guys same time next Saturday at 7 a.m. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.